Good morning, your Central Minnesota Farm Report here on Chasm Radio. I'm Farm Director Joe Gill. It's brought to you every Saturday morning by Mid-Soda Manufacturing in Avon. Right off I-94, see the crew over there, and well, they got hours this morning, 8 till noon on the south side of I-94. Stop on in at Mid-Soda Manufacturing. I spoke to Joel Bauer on Friday, and well, of course, we're talking trailers. I mentioned the Joel 2 Talking Trailers about their line of great dump wagons, their skid steer attachments, but we did focus on their enclosed trailers. And I mentioned to Joel, when it comes to enclosed trailers, Joel, or is an enclosed trailer and enclosed trailer, are they all one and the same? He says, no, there's differences when it comes to enclosed trailers.
Very different in the enclosed trailers. The one thing about enclosed is they're all going to look the same because they all put the beautifully colored aluminum sheeting. They close all the manufacturing process up. It's closed in under that nice, bright, shiny aluminum sheet. It's what's underneath it you got to know. I mean, there's different materials that they can frame it out of, like their upright walls and their roof bows. Some people could make that out of what they call a hat channel. They take a real thin piece of metal and bend it up like a hat or a Z post. And then they use that for their upright. They can save a lot of money, but it's a lot lighter material. It's got a lot of flex in it. We've actually got a couple samples in our office of a hat channel, and then what other manufacturers use is just a regular rectangular steel tube for their uprights and overhead crossbows. And that hat channel, you can twist that. But that tubing, I don't care how strong you are, you aren't going to twist it. So when you're going down the road, that's what your frame is doing. So you want to find out what's inside the walls of that trailer, even how thick that aluminum is. Just by looking at it, you can't tell. So a lot of questions to be asked on the enclosed trailers.
So as a buyer, once again, it goes far past what your eye can see, Joel.
Absolutely, and that's exaggerated in the enclosed trailer market. Because like I said, those nice, you know, charcoal color. Looking out my window now, there's some nice silver charcoal. We've got a forest green and a silver combo color. They look really good. But it's what's underneath is what you got to know.
On Friday, I spoke to Jamie Byer. Jamie Byer is a farmer and president of the Minnesota Soybean Growers Association. And we were talking about the California Clean Car Rule, which is a comment period just ended on the 15th. And I mentioned that Jamie, as we see a lot of pushback, especially from agriculture. And she mentioned, well, you know, one of the biggest thing is they're trying to make a rule. It's not open for debate and legislative dissection. So she says that's a big issue when it comes to making a rule of this sort.
So just like you said, because it's a rule, it goes through the rulemaking process. And MPCA has put out their SONAR, which is the Statement of Need and Reasonableness. So this is sort of their premise or their justification for the rule. And in that, it states that, you know, they're proposing this rule because of legislation enacted by the Trump administration. And we know that as of today, you know, we've got a new president and a completely new administration, and they have been aggressively rolling back and undoing all the action that President Trump implemented at a staggering pace. And so I think even from the onset, we're upset with this rule because the justification itself is gone. And then in addition to that, it's copycatting California policies. And California policies are funneling their greenhouse gas reductions towards an electric option, and that's really what they're focused on. Whereas in Minnesota, we have other options. We've got two decades of using biodiesel, and we've sort of been an island in that. We've been the only state around us to have this B20 mandate, and we see an opportunity to use higher biodiesel blends to further provide more greenhouse gas emission reductions.
I mentioned that Jamie as well. I says it's almost unfortunate, it seems at times, that the renewable fuels, when it comes to either biodiesel or E15, it's being overlooked a little bit when it comes to this discussion of fuel and climate and such. And she mentioned it is unfortunate because it's been a solution here in Minnesota, as she alluded to, for quite a long time, and can serve in that purpose as we move ahead.
I don't know if folks understand how much of an influence, you know, California has here. California has 4 separate electric car company headquarters within their states. California doesn't grow any soybeans. You know, this is setting us on a path where California solutions are the only ones that are being considered, whereas Minnesota is unique. You know, we have 28,000 soybean farmers. We have 3 biodiesel plants. And like you said, we've got a biodiesel industry already developed. You know, when people try to say that farmers don't care about the environment, it's, you know, you kind of turn around and say, who are you pointing at? Because we've been using biodiesel for decades. And we can show that when we're using a higher blend of biodiesel like B100, an electric car has 195% more greenhouse gas emissions. So we've got a solution right here, and biodiesel was the first fuel to be named an advanced biofuel by the EPA to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 50%. So, I mean, we've been doing this. We've been doing this all along. And so now to have a rule come out that sort of insinuates we've taken no action is just ridiculous.
Jamie Byer with the Minnesota Soybean Growers Association. I mentioned that, Jamie, too, what the response has been like from their members around the state as the comment period just wrapping up on the 15th in discussion about this rule.
So MSGA put in a comment on behalf of our 28,000 soybean growers, and we've been doing a lot of press on it. I know that, you know, when I talk with folks out here, they're all pretty fired up about it. I mean, we know the challenges of electric cars out here, and we also know that our grid isn't decarbonized. So you're just taking greenhouse gas emissions on the left hand and putting them on the right hand of an electric car. It's just we have a different lifestyle out here and a different need. You know, we put on a lot of miles, and usually this time of year, someone like me serving as the president of MSGA would be taking the 3.5-hour drive down to the cities every week and back. So, you know, we're putting these comments in because we feel very strongly that this is setting us up for failure in Minnesota.
And also this week, soybean growers, along with our soybean leaders in the state, have been meeting with legislative leaders in Washington, D.C. about this issue and some other issues.
Certainly. We had a group of farmers meet with our representatives in D.C. yesterday. We actually had 9 appointments all on Zoom, so you can get a lot of work done, I guess, online. And what we heard from both our Republican and our Democrat representatives is that biodiesel can be a part of the solution. And, you know, there are some long-term goals that the state has in place and certainly continue to pursue those. But, you know, the use of biodiesel today cuts greenhouse gas emissions. We don't have to wait for additional infrastructure or for any of those other things to happen. We can realize those reductions now.
And finally, another question I asked Jamie, too. It just seems like in this whole climate kind of legislative mentality we're in, it's move quick. We're at a fast pace on making decisions and working ahead. And I wasn't sure if that was just me or just kind of the gut feeling I'm getting. And she admits, too, it just seems like things are moving at a very rapid pace.
I think it's a reality. I don't think it's our perception. You know, as we're watching these Zoom meetings, in some of these committee meetings, they're giving you 2 minutes to make your point and convince folks of your perspective. And in Minnesota, we can barely spit out our name and where we're from in 2 minutes. So the pace is just like breakneck. And we've got Minnesota farmers lined up to meet with representatives next week. We have 36 appointments. They go from 9 a.m. till 4 p.m. for 3 days solid, and an additional couple of hours on Thursday and Friday. It's just ridiculous. I think when you're in person, you have to have some built-in time to physically get between offices and buildings, whether it's in St. Paul or in D.C. And when people are on Zoom, you don't need that travel time. And so people are booking back-to-back-to-back meetings and hopping in and out, and now they're testifying and now they're back. I mean, It is frustrating as someone from the public trying to participate in this process, because it looks transparent. You can see it. You can watch it. But to actually be a part of it is very difficult.
Minnesota Soybean Growers Association President Jamie Beyer joining us on this week's Central Minnesota Farm Report. It's brought to you by Midsoda Manufacturing.